I'd like to read from 2 Timothy in chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15, he says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." Towards the end of Paul's life, it was the last letter he wrote. His burden is that Timothy should concentrate on being one whom God can approve of. You know, when a man knows that he is going to die soon, his words and his letters take on a greater seriousness. I mean, just think yourself, if you knew that in another week or something you're going to die. In Paul's case, it was by martyrdom. Well, it may not be martyrdom in your case. Supposing the doctor has given you 1 week to live, I think your words and your letters would take on a greater seriousness, particularly if you've been a servant of the Lord for number of years like Paul was, and you're writing to your closest co-worker like Timothy. You would certainly write things that are of primary importance. You know, in 2 Timothy 4:6, in case you didn't know, Paul says, "The time of my departure has come." He knew that the Lord was going to take him. Up till that time, he lived with the hope of being raptured. About 10, 12 years earlier, when he wrote 1 Thessalonians, he said, "We who are alive will be taken up along with those who have died when Christ comes again." So Paul says "we" means he expected to be alive when Christ came back. But 12 years later, when he writes this letter, he says, "No, I'm not going to be alive at the coming of the Lord. I'm going to die before that. The time of my departure has come." And he does not challenge Timothy with evangelizing the world or reaching the world for Christ, that type of things that American evangelists preach today and which have influenced 90% of Indian evangelists. By the way, 90% of Indian evangelists only blindly repeat what American evangelists say. They have no independent thinking. I've discovered that. It's almost as though God never speaks to anybody in India. They reach the world for Christ and do this and do that, and by 82,000 we must do this. Now 2,000 is over. Now maybe 82,010 or whatever it is. It never ends. Interesting thing is, the greatest evangelist in Christendom, the Apostle Paul, never gave Timothy such burdens. He says, "You make sure that God can approve of you." How can a mother who's got children staying at home try to evangelize the world? She can be pleasing to God. Jesus was pleasing to God, even though for 30 years he never preached a sermon, never healed a sick person, never cast out a demon. And at the end of 30 years, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son. I approve of him. I'm well pleased with him." Paul told Timothy, "You make sure that your life is well pleasing to God. Be diligent to pursue that." And then he told him In a large house, verse 20, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, some to honor, some to dishonor. The large house is the church. And what he's saying there is, there are certain types of vessels made of silver or gold, which very rich people will use for special purposes, vessels of honor. And even in the richest homes, there are also garbage bins in the kitchen, waste paper baskets under a table, made of plastic or some type of worthless material. Are they useful? Is a garbage bin useful in your kitchen? Certainly. Is it valuable? No. So what is he trying to say here? Don't think merely of being used. You want to be useful to God, or you want to be valuable to God? That's the question. He says, if you only want to be used by God, you may be a garbage bin. There are garbage bins. It says in the Living Bible, there are expensive dishes used for guests and cheap ones used in the kitchen to put garbage in. Both are used. God uses various types of people. Usefulness is not the test. Be diligent to be approved by God. Be diligent to be a vessel that has essential worth. If the house is on fire, as this world will be on fire one day when Christ comes back, the man of the house will run in not to bring the garbage bin out. He's going to run in to take the gold and silver vessels out. You know that. You won't run into your house if it's on fire to pull the garbage bin out. But you will go in if there's some chance of rescuing some golden and silver vessels. And so it says here, how you can be a vessel for honor. Many, many years ago, the Lord said to me, don't evaluate your life by how I am using you. That is a very strong word to my heart. Don't evaluate your life by how I am using you. There's no connection between the two. God uses many people whose lives are not pleasing to Him. And all those who think they are doing something for the Lord, they may be doing something for the Lord, I don't question it. But they may not be pleasing to the Lord, even though they are doing something for the Lord. You can do something in the church. Many of us do many things in the church voluntarily. We don't do it for pay. And it's good. But if you're not living in daily fellowship with Jesus, listening to His word to your heart, I have to say that your life is not pleasing to God. Do you remember the story of Mary and Martha? Jesus came to the house of Mary and Martha. Martha was doing something for the Lord. Was it a good thing? Very good thing. But she was not pleasing to the Lord, even though she was doing something. Like a lot of people do something in the church, and you may not be pleasing to God. The Lord said, Martha, you're worried about too many things which are not important. But Mary apparently was not doing anything for the Lord, but she was fellowshipping with the Lord. And the Lord said, that's the most important thing. You read that in Luke 10:42. The Lord said, that is the most important thing. That's what pleases me. So don't try to do what you think pleases the Lord, serving Him, doing things for Him. Do what He says is pleasing to you, pleasing to Him. That is, fellowshipping with Him, making sure that you are a vessel unto honor, not just a vessel that is used. The clearest proof that many people who are used by God will not enter God's kingdom. Are you listening carefully to what I said? Many people whom Jesus uses in His service will not enter His kingdom finally. The clearest proof of that is His own words in Matthew 7, verse 22 onwards. Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Didn't we preach messages in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal the sick in your name? And I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. What was their work of iniquity? Was it healing the sick? Is that a work of iniquity? Was it casting out demons? Was it preaching? Those were not works of iniquity. Those were all good works. Maybe they preached and somebody got saved. They did miracles and somebody got healed. They cast out demons and that fellow was thankful that he got delivered from demons. And that fellow went to heaven. But this chap who preached and cast out the demon, he goes to hell. Have you ever heard of such a thing? That a man preaches the gospel and somebody gets saved and goes to heaven, and the man who preaches the gospel goes to hell? Well, if you believe the words of Jesus, as I do, that's exactly what we're going to see in the final day. But you say God used them. Right. Like you use a garbage bin. And you use other things which are vessels unto dishonor, means for jobs that are not very dignified and things like that. Yeah, God, you use them. How can you be a vessel for honor? Do you know that a garbage bin in your kitchen, spiritually speaking, if you're a garbage bin in the church, used by God, okay, you can become a golden vessel. Now in our house, a garbage bin can never become a golden vessel. But in the church, you can become a golden vessel. And you know how? That's what it says in the next verse. 2 Timothy 2:21. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself, most of Christendom knows only about Jesus cleansing them. They don't know the other side of the coin, that we have to cleanse ourselves also. What does Jesus cleanse us from? What do we cleanse ourselves from? We mustn't mix up the two. You can't mix up multiplication and division. Multiply by four, divide by four are two different things. Jesus cleansing me, me cleansing myself are two completely different things. But you go to a little two-year-old, he thinks multiplication and division are the same. And you go to baby Christians and they think Jesus cleansing me and I cleansing myself are the same. Well, we got to grow up then. Jesus cleansing me is only from the guilt of my past sin. He cleanses me with His blood. His blood takes care of the guilt of all the sins I ever commit, whether I committed them 20 years ago or I committed them this afternoon. If I confess them, I walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses me. I can't do anything about that. I can't even cleanse one sin of all the million sins I've committed. God has to do it 100%. And in the future too, when I fall into sin, Jesus has to cleanse me. God has to cleanse me. So we all understand that. But what is it I have to cleanse myself from? If a man cleanses himself. We've seen that in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That means whenever I see a wrong attitude in me, first of all, I ask the Lord to forgive me for having that wrong attitude. Maybe towards somebody. That's the wrong attitude, is a sin. And I first of all need to ask Jesus to cleanse me in His blood. Having done that, I need to cleanse myself from that wrong attitude. For example, if my wrong attitude is that you did me some harm 5 years ago and for 5 years I have not forgiven you and I have not talked to you, that's a sin. I have to go to the Lord first and ask Him to cleanse me from the sinful attitude that I've had towards you for 5 years in not forgiving you, not talking to you, because you did me some harm. I say, Lord, cleanse me from that terrible sin. Okay, now I'm cleansed. Now I have to cleanse myself. What do I have to do? This is not something Jesus is going to do. This is something I have to do. I have to forgive you for what you did to me 5 years ago. However great a crime it may have been, because I have committed greater crimes against God and He forgave me. He forgave me 40 million rupees. You owe me only 40 rupees. And I have no right to catch you by the throat and say, pay up. Why should I forgive you 40 rupees? Because I have been forgiven 40 million by God. No other reason. Not because you deserve it. I didn't deserve being forgiven 40 million. And you don't deserve being forgiven 40, but when I have been forgiven 40 million, it should be easy for me to forgive you 40 rupees. Unless I'm an evil man. If I'm an evil man, then of course, I won't go into God's kingdom. So I have to cleanse myself by forgiving you and having a good attitude towards you in future. Cleansing myself from that wrong attitude towards you. Of course, I can ask the Lord to help me in that. If I find it difficult, I can ask the Lord to help me, but I have to do that. That's just one example. It's like Zacchaeus. He asked the Lord, no doubt, to forgive him for all the hundreds of people he had cheated in the past. And the Lord cleanses him. And then he has to cleanse himself because he's got a whole lot of money in his house. I don't know, maybe in a bank account, if they had banks those days, which doesn't belong to him. How does he cleanse himself? All that money, Lord, is dirty money. It's not mine. How can I keep it? And little by little, he cleanses out the dirt from his hands. How? By returning to different people the money he has taken wrongly from them, and more the dirt goes away from his hands. And then finally, there's a whole lot of people whose address he doesn't know where they are living. His hands are still dirty. He says, well, Lord, I don't know where all these fellows live, but I can't keep this money also, so I give it to the poor. Or to the church. Then my hands are clean. Who cleansed it?
Zacchaeus.
Cleansed himself. It may have taken him 5 years. Going from house to house, collecting all that money, saving up that money, paying it back. Jesus said, salvation came to this house. Zacchaeus won't be rejected in the final day. Even if he never evangelized, even if he never did the Lord's work, even if he never prophesied, never did a miracle, never cast out a demon, he'd be a vessel unto honor. If a man cleanses himself, remember that verse, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21. If a man cleanses himself, he can be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and also useful to the master, prepared for every good work. You know, a good work becomes a bad work when it is, or a dead work, when it is done by a man who is not clean. God won't accept it. For example, supposing we are having a feast here one Sunday. Chicken biryani. And they bring it in a nice beautiful silver or stainless steel vessel here on the brother's side. And they bring it in a garbage bin there on the sister's side. Same biryani. How is it the brothers have a good appetite that day and the sisters don't have an appetite that day? How is that? Same biryani? Don't feel like eating anything? That's exactly how God feels. When we offer something good in a garbage bin to God. Say, Lord, this good thing. Yeah, but what's the vessel like? Do you ever think of that? Wouldn't you rather have just 2 or 3 spoons of biryani in a clean plate rather than a pile of it in a garbage bin? God doesn't want much, but He wants it from a clean heart. And you cannot have a clean heart if you don't repent. We were in Nanilam over the weekend and I was sharing there how the message that's missing in most churches today is the message of repentance. Forgiveness of sins is being preached everywhere. But Jesus said repentance and forgiveness of sins must be preached together. He said that in Luke 24. In all nations, repentance and forgiveness of sins must be preached together. And what God has joined together, man has put asunder. The average Christian message that you hear anywhere today is, you turn to any television evangelist preaching. If you don't believe me, try it out. Go to any church except this one and listen to what they preach. Faith. Faith. Believe. Believe. Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Am I against that? I'm 100% for it. But it's like a currency note that's printed only on one side. Is it correctly printed one side? Absolutely correct. I still don't accept it because the other side is blank. Would you accept a currency note like that? Well, that's why I don't accept that gospel either. This side must be repentance and that side must be faith. Then it's the proper currency note. Then it's the real gospel. There is no forgiveness without repentance. If you're just told to believe, believe, believe and not repent and believe, then it can be like that. My favorite example to illustrate that. Song number 36. We're not going to sing it. I'm just going to read one verse. To to illustrate what I mean, how widespread this error is in Christendom and also in our songs. Verse 2. O perfect redemption. You begin with a phrase like that and you think you're going to hear something wonderful. Perfect redemption. Boy, what a word. Perfect redemption. How am I going to get it? I want this perfect redemption. The purchase of blood to every believer. The promise of God. Now listen, I'm a sinner coming and sitting in a meeting listening to this. I don't know head or tail about salvation. And I hear about perfect redemption. I say, boy, I want that. To every believer. Is that all I got to do? Believe? The promise of God? That's right. The vilest offender. That's me. Hey, that's me. The vilest, filthiest sinner. That's me. Who truly believes. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. That moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Thank you, Lord. I haven't repented at all. I just believed. That's what I mean by deception. And people don't have the courage to preach that because that song is the most famous gospel song in the last 50 years. It's the most famous gospel song sung in evangelistic crusades in the last 50 years across the world. Vilest offenders can be saved if they believe. Paul said, Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent. Paul said, I preach repentance. Cleanse yourself. Turn from sin. Then believe. Otherwise your belief has got no value. And that's why you have so many books nowadays on faith. If you don't believe me, go to a Christian bookshop. You have any number of books on faith. Try and find a book on repentance or holiness. Be very rare. Is it because we don't value faith? No. We want the currency note printed on both sides. That's all we're saying. Repentance and faith. If a man cleanses himself, he can be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. It's not enough that we are used. We must be sanctified, verse 21, and then used. Did you notice that? A vessel for honor, sanctified first, and then used for every type of good work. I may not be able to do great things like the garbage can, a huge garbage can in a small little golden vessel. Well, if you go with 10,000 rupees to the market, I don't know how big a golden vessel you can buy with that. Probably a pretty small one. I'm sure you could probably buy the biggest garbage can there is in town with 10,000 rupees. If you go for size, appearance, boy, what a huge garbage can you can get for 10,000 rupees. Yeah, in a great house in the church, there are all types of vessels. Paul says to Timothy, be a vessel unto honor. Don't just think of being, be useful, sure. But cleanse yourself, be sanctified, and then you'll be really useful. I thought we could spend a little time listening to the brothers who went down to Nunnelam for the conference this last weekend. If you can take maybe 2 or 3 minutes each. Try not to exceed that unless you want to eat up somebody else's time. The Lord gave us a very, very blessed conference. There must have been 1,200 to 1,400 people there over the weekend, but the Lord made it clear to me that numbers meant nothing. The important thing was how many of them were disciples. And it's pretty clear they were not all disciples. They're coming from all parts of Tamil Nadu. And our burden is that everyone who's not a visitor, everyone who's a part of our church, who submits to the teaching in the church, should become a disciple of Jesus. And we work towards that goal, however long it takes. And we know from our experience in Bangalore, it takes a long time to make even one disciple. But we work towards it. There was a lot of disruption due to the weather. The rain suddenly came, but the interesting thing is, it did not affect the meetings or the spirit of the meetings. And we all got a bit wet, but that was okay. And I believe as a result of that, there was a greater self-judgment on everybody's part, and greater openness to receive the things of God. And I certainly had great liberty in every meeting. We spoke about repentance, as I just said, and cleansing ourselves and giving thanks for everything, being content in all situations, and about proclaiming the victory of Calvary to Satan, about being ready for persecution and martyrdom if necessary in this country in the day when before Christ comes again, and a number of other things like that. We had meetings for married people, dedication of children, and meetings for young people. And for the young people, I spoke about the example of Joseph, who at the age of 17 was having visions of God. He was having a hunger for God that enabled him to have visions. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And I was saying how in the church we need brothers and sisters of that age who are in touch with God, who can hear God, who can listen to God, and be an encouragement to those who are younger to them, so that in the church can rise up another generation to take the torch forward. It takes 10 to 15 years. 10 to 15 years for God to prepare a man for His service. God sometimes does a quicker job. He had to do a quicker job with the early apostles, 3.5 years. Well, I suppose if you walked with Jesus physically, you could probably do it in 3.5 years, but we don't have that privilege. I find it takes about 10 to 15 years nowadays on an average. And therefore, you can't suddenly wake up when you're 50 years old and say, oh, I'd like to be used by God, it'll be too late. We got to start letting God work in us when we're 20. In our 20s. By the time you're 20, if you're born again, let God start working in you so that you can be really useful. A vessel unto honor, cleansing yourself, faithful, studying the Word, filled with the Holy Spirit, so that you can be useful to God by the time you're 35 or so. That's God's will.
You are invited to visit our website on the internet at www.cfcindia.com. That is www.cfcindia.com, and at punen.org/Zach. That is punen.org/ZAC for video messages, audio messages, and books by Zach Poonen that can all be downloaded freely. Our mailing address is Christian Fellowship Center, 40 DeCosta Square, Bangalore 560084, India. If you would like to receive a weekly message by Zach Punin by email, please send us your email address to cfclit@touchtelindia.net. That is cfclit@touchtelindia.net. The Lord bless you richly.